And Dennis is going to come and bring our readings to us.
The first of two short readings comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 4b to 7. When the Lord God made the universe, there were no plants on the earth, and no seeds had sprouted, because he had not sent any rain, and there was no one to cultivate the land. But water would come up from beneath the surface and water the ground. Then the Lord God took some soil from the ground and formed a man out of it. He breathed life-giving breath into his nostrils, and the man began to live. The second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us today. Lord, we pray that your spirit will open our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, you know how we are. You know our needs at this time. And we pray that you will speak to us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to challenge us, to guide us, to inspire us, to refresh and renew us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you will remember Dr. Tony Campolo. He visited our church a few years ago, and many of you may well have seen him speak at other events. If you don't know Tony Campolo, he's an inspirational pastor, author, lecturer. He's a professor of sociology, and he always reminds me a little bit of the teacher John Keating in the film The Dead Poets Society. If you've seen that film, John Keating brings poetry to life to a group of students who otherwise were never going to connect with poetry. But Campolo somehow manages to bring Christianity to life in a similar kind of fashion. And Campolo tells of a time when he was teaching at the University of Pennsylvania. And on the first day of a new class, he pointed to a student and he said, "How long have you lived?" Barry's looking worried now. The student was quite taken back by the question, and he said, "I'm 22. "No, no, no," Campolo said. In fact, if you know Campolo, I imagine he shouted, "No, no, no, what you've told me is how long your heart has been pumping blood. My question was, how long have you lived?" And the student looked quite puzzled and was unable to grasp what Tony Campolo meant. So Campolo went on to tell him a story of something special that had happened to him when he was young and at school, and he'd been on a school trip to New York City. Now, the class were taken to the top of the Empire State Building. And as usual on a school trip, once they got to the top, the kids were jostling, messing around, and suddenly Campolo walked to the railing and peered over the edge. And he said this, The magnificence of the skyscrapers of New York lay before me, and I stood there, stunned into reverence. In one mystical moment, I absorbed the city. I gazed at it with such intensity that if I were to live a million years, that moment would still be part of my consciousness. I was so fully alive at that moment that I sensed it had become part of my eternal now. Then he looked at the student again and said, "So, how long have you lived?" The student sat silent and then answered, "When you put it that way, Doc, maybe a couple of minutes. I don't know, it's hard to say. Most of my life has been the meaningless passage of time between all too few moments of genuine aliveness." And maybe that description from Campolo takes you back to a place where you got that sense of being alive. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we become fully alive. What Jesus wants for us is for every single one of us to be more alive to life, to be able to reach our full potential. And so he fills us with the Holy Spirit, the life breath of Jesus, as we receive new life in him. This morning, we're starting a new 3-week series on the work of the Holy Spirit. And our series begins here at this moment when the disciples encounter the risen Jesus. At the moment they are commissioned and empowered to continue his mission through receiving the life-giving Spirit of Jesus. Picture the scene for a moment. It's Sunday night. A couple of days earlier, the disciples had watched in horror as Jesus had been nailed to the cross. They spent the last couple of years traveling with Jesus. He was a close friend, and they'd shared some great adventures together. But he was more than a best mate. What they'd seen and heard had convinced them that he was the Messiah. He was their Lord. They had put all of their hopes in him. Now, earlier on this Sunday, Mary Magdalene claimed to have seen him. She told the disciples that Jesus was alive. They were already feeling lost, confused, hurt, bewildered, maybe even angry at all that had happened. How could they make sense of her words? And they were so in fear of their own lives, terrified that the Jewish authorities would be after them next, that they met together behind locked doors. They were stressed. They were fearful. They were grieving. They were hurting. These emotions that they were feeling were draining them of energy and life. This was not one of those Tony Campolo moments where they felt truly alive. If anything, it was quite the opposite. That was, of course, until Jesus suddenly appeared in their midst. If they were in a state of confusion and turmoil already, we can only begin to imagine the state they would have been in when Jesus appeared in that room. The doors were locked. So was he a ghost? Or was he really alive, like Mary had told them? And if he was alive, how did he get in? And more importantly, how would he respond to them? Some of them had abandoned Jesus right at the end. If that was him standing there, what was he going to say to them? You can imagine all of these thoughts rushing through their mind. And then John tells us that Jesus greeted them with some familiar words. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. This word for peace means well-being in its fullest sense. It means all the blessings of the kingdom poured out upon them. And this greeting brought reassurance to the disciples. Jesus wasn't holding their failures against them. He was offering them a restored relationship with the risen Saviour. John tells us that he showed them his hands and his side. And at that moment, they were left in no doubt of his identity. And the disciples were overjoyed at seeing their Lord once more. But Jesus' appearance wasn't just to show his disciples that he was alive. It was for them to experience the life that the Spirit brings. And in so doing, to be equipped to be able to continue the mission of Jesus in the world. John tells us in verse 22 that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's here we get this picture of the Holy Spirit as the life breath of Jesus. Now, in Scripture, the words for wind, breath, and spirit are the same. That's true for Hebrew and it's true for Greek. And the way that John explains this significant moment for the disciples takes us back to that first reading that we had from Genesis chapter 2. It said, "Then the Lord God took some soil from the ground and formed a man out of it. He breathed life-giving breath into his nostrils, and the man began to live." Now, that wasn't the first appearance of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Right at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the water." You see, the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning of creation. He was involved as the universe was formed. And the Holy Spirit brought life to humankind. Now, in the new creation, we see the restoring life of God breathed out through Jesus, making new people of the disciples, bringing them alive, and equipping them to offer this new life to the world. Surely, in every sense, this was one of those moments of being truly alive. They were in a locked room in the presence of the risen Saviour. And then they received the life breath of Jesus. Now, the Saviour would be dwelling with them for all time. And the intimacy that God had planned between himself and humankind could once again be achieved. Since the fall, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, the Holy Spirit had only ever filled particular people for a particular task. For example, it was the Holy Spirit who equipped Gideon to lead, even though he was the weakest man from the weakest clan. The Holy Spirit, as I'm sure we'll hear more about tonight, also gave Samson his strength. And he gave skills in craftsmanship to Bezalel. Now, these were important roles, without a doubt. But God promised throughout the Old Testament that there would be a time when the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people and would dwell within them forever. It's here in John's Gospel that that moment is beginning. The disciples were receiving the Holy Spirit for the first time. They had new life in Jesus and a new relationship with the living God. But the Holy Spirit had not been given to the disciples just to give them new spiritual experiences, although they would certainly have some of those. Nor did they receive the Holy Spirit in order to set them apart as some kind of elite super spiritual club. Although as Christians, they were certainly called to be distinctive and to follow Jesus' example of how to live. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, people now can say, it's for a special spiritual experience. or he is to set people apart as elite. When we look at this account in John chapter 20, we begin to understand that the disciples received the Holy Spirit, the life of Jesus, actually so they would be able to do what Jesus had been doing in Israel. But the difference was that they were to extend that mission to the whole world. This had been part of God's plan all along. The mission of Jesus was always to be started by Jesus and continued through his church in the power of the Holy Spirit. At the beginning of John's Gospel, we hear John the Baptist telling people about Jesus, saying, "God, who sent me to baptize with water, had said to me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on a man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it, and I tell you, he is the Son of God.'" For John, it was seeing Jesus being anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism that set him apart. And even though Jesus is the Son of God, he still needed to receive the Holy Spirit to fulfill his mission to the world. Now, after his death and resurrection, that mission was being handed over. The followers of Jesus were about to become agents for Jesus, bringing life and transformation to the whole world. The Holy Spirit brings life to the disciples, and he also empowers them to continue the work of Jesus that he commissions them to do. We heard in verse 21 that Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." But this time he continued, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." It was with these words that the disciples were being commissioned by Jesus to continue Christ's work. What Jesus had in mind was not some kind of double mission, but a single action. God sent his Son into the world initially through the incarnation and then subsequently through his church. The mission the disciples were on was not a lone venture. It was a co-mission with Jesus. And it's a mission that extends way beyond the group of believers that were in that room that night. It extends right through the church, even as far as the city of Chelmsford today. Like the disciples, we have been commissioned by Jesus. Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." As part of God's family, we are also being sent into the world to continue Jesus' mission. This is an amazing opportunity and an incredible privilege, albeit a little bit daunting. Perhaps like the disciples when they first saw Jesus, our reaction might be one of confusion or fear or maybe even shame. Could God really choose to use me to accomplish his mission to the world? Would he really want to? Are we good enough to carry out such an enormous task? What if we get it wrong? What if we let him down? To me, the disciples are such an example and an encouragement when facing these questions. Through them, we see that, of course, God can use us to accomplish his mission. Not only can he use us, but he's chosen to use us. But he doesn't expect us to work it all out for ourselves and to struggle on in our own strength. That's why he wants to breathe his Holy Spirit into each one of us, to give us all that we need to accomplish his mission for him. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is that same power that is now available to every single one of us. A power to equip us to speak and act for Jesus. A power and an authority to bring in his kingdom. Even so, we know that working for Jesus won't be easy. When he said to his disciples, "As the Father sent me," they were all too aware that the Father sent Jesus with a cost. Now, although his sacrifice was a unique part of God's plan for his life, nevertheless, there will still be a cost for each of us, because we know choosing to go Christ's way all the time is not always an easy route. But Jesus doesn't expect us to face those challenges alone. He will be with us. His Spirit will comfort us, guide us, help us to deal with the difficulties we face, and empower us to continue his mission in the world. In many ways, this is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. We don't just believe in Jesus. His Spirit dwells within us. His Spirit brings us into a relationship with the living God and empowers us to bring transformation to the world. And I'm convinced that as we learn to embrace this truth, as we allow God to lead us more and more through his Holy Spirit to fulfill our purpose in him, that will only ever lead us into more and more of those being alive kind of moments that Tony Campolo spoke about, because we will be reaching our potential in Christ. So this morning, I want to encourage you to receive a fresh touch of the life breath of Jesus. We know that sometimes we are worn down by the stresses and the strains of life. And many of us have been through many hurts, disappointments, losses, fears, and they can drain us of our energy and our life. You know, Jesus never intended us to carry those burdens alone. And he's longing to give every one of us a fresh breath of life to strengthen us and empower us to live again. Some of us today need a fresh touch of the life breath of Jesus too, to equip us to fulfill his mission in the way that he's called us. I really believe that following Jesus and serving as his agents should be one of those things that makes us feel alive. We've been invited to partner with the living God in bringing his kingdom into the world, in offering new life to others. This is an incredible privilege. And working in partnership with God should never feel a chore or a burden, but we need the life breath of Jesus to empower us to live for him and equip us to serve. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? So let's take a moment of silence, and then let's pray together to allow God to continue to speak to us and to minister to us this morning. Loving God, we thank you again this morning for Jesus. Thank you that he has victory over sin and death. Thank you that he died and he rose again. And through him, each one of us can receive new life in you. And Lord, we want to thank you for your life-giving Spirit available to each one of us today. Lord, we pray, please pour out your Holy Spirit in this place and fill us afresh. Lord, where we are hurt and broken, disappointed, stressed and worn out with the struggles of life, fill us with that new life breath afresh. Comfort us. Heal us. Strengthen us. Renew us and restore us today. And Lord, as we look to serve you, Lord, we open ourselves up to you to receive your Holy Spirit afresh. Lord, empower us and equip us. Give us energy and vision and life. Lay dreams into our hearts of ways that you want us to serve you. Give us again that fresh excitement of what it means to lead others into your kingdom. Help us to become alive again in you. and renew us and empower us to serve you, that we may see your kingdom come and your will be done in our church, in our community, in our city, in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.